WRJN AccuWeather forecast. For today, partly sunny and cold, high 21. Tonight, clear and very cold, low 7 inland to 13 lakeside. Tomorrow, breezy, not quite as cold on the thermometer, although the breeze won't feel warm. High 32 with sun followed by clouds. Sunday, breezy, clouds in the morning, then partly sunny, high 36. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. Right now in Kenosha, we have mostly sunny skies and 14 degrees. It's sunny at the Municipal Airport in Burlington and 12 degrees. At General Mitchell's Milwaukee International Airport, it is mostly sunny at 13. And at Dave Magnum.media's International Headquarters in Racine, it is sunny at WRJN 12 degrees. The wind is out of the west at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 20, giving us a wind chill index of minus 1. The dew point is minus 2, the relative humidity 53%, and the barometric pressure is rising at 30.44. It's 11 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It is a beautiful day in Wisconsin, for thank God it's Friday, February 3rd, 2017, the only 2-3-2-0-17 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great weekend. Mayor John Dickert, after Earth, Wind, and Fire, sings a song for us.
There is superstitions.
special request, Stevie Wonder with Superstition on your radio, friend. 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable package. Glenn Klein for a Thank God It's Friday Community Conversations with my tag team partner, Mark Eichors. The local civil rights leader, pastor, author Milt Thompson is here, and so is the mayor of the great city of Racine. It was a special request from the mayor, Stevie Wonder. Please say hello to Mayor John Dickert. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, and you gotta love superstition in the morning on a Friday. It's a way to wake you up.
Nothing wrong with it.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
We realized something in our last community conversation last hour with the most high and holy Reverend Thompson, that Racine doesn't have a city song. Hmm. And we need one.
Ooh, that's, well, I think we just had one right there.
No, no, but, you know, like Tony Bennett, I Left My Heart in San Francisco.
Ah.
You've got New York, New York by Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
You've got Chicago by Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Bob Evans, who you know, Glenn.
Bob, he did a song.
Yeah, he wrote a song called My Hometown, and it's all about Racine, and he has it on tape, or on CD. We'll have to get you a copy of that one.
So I think, though...
Well, Milton didn't know about it, and he's lived here his whole life.
I think you know, getting a Tony Bennett to do something about Racine, I can have a talk with him.
I co-opted the Tony Bennett song.
Oh, well, all right.
I ate my Kringle.
Oh, jeez.
In Racine, Wisconsin.
I'm sure you're going to put Glenn on the website tomorrow to promote the... I think the place will become a ghost town.
Well, the Kringle makers were still having a conversation about his father, however, on the other hand, had some pretty good ideas on naming rights. But
for the hockey team,
yeah,
the Racine,
yeah,
Iceman.
Yes.
The Iceman cometh.
Ice.
But here, the thing is, we had a story yesterday about the team in Kimberley.
Mm-hmm.
They are the paper makers.
Right.
So the Kringle makers.
I know you're going with that.
And just the makers. We could just do the makers for the Milwaukee D-League basketball team. And we make things in Racine.
Yes, we do.
We want to bring manufacturing back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there's a lot there.
We can work on that.
Yeah.
But we got to figure out who's going to do the song first. I mean, we have some pretty good singers in this community.
Yeah.
And we have some down at, as a matter of fact, at the John Bryan Center, we have a recording studio. And Lisa Hill down there, the director, has brought in some people that have helped kids produce music and write music. And they do an amazing job. And actually, one of them, who had produced a song, I put it out on my Facebook page. And he did an amazing rap that was very, very, very good. And I'm not a fan of rap music, but he did a fantastic rap. And I put it out on my Facebook and just got it out there for people to listen to, because we've got some real talent in this town.
A guy that is very talented in many ways, we're going to have on in the next hour, the NFL Hall of Fame head coach Marv Levy.
Wow.
To get his Super Bowl prediction. He predicted accurately last year that the Broncos would upset the Panthers because of their superior defense.
Yeah.
And Marv was my dad's camp counselor in Eagle River. And Marv wrote a fight song for the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. Wow.
So maybe I'll ask him if he's ever been to Racine and if you'd like to pen a song about Racine.
Come on down.
What else would we have in it besides Kringle in the song?
The lighthouse would be one.
The lighthouse.
Water.
Yeah. Water.
The river. Yeah. Mark Eichhorst.
Mr. Racine.
Mr. Racine.
Would have to be in the song.
Yeah. Yep.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. We got to leave off that he ties to the Chicago, though. I mean, I know he looks a lot like the coach, but I think we got to leave that
it's
off.
He's a manager. Yeah. He's a manager.
He's a coach.
Joe Maddon is a manager.
He's a coach.
He's a man of...
He tells men what to do. He's a coach.
He's a man above men.
Yeah, well, he is now.
Pitchers and catchers reporting pretty quick here.
February 14th.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Getting ready.
You excited?
Heck yeah.
The Brewers.
I used to go to opening day every year.
The Brewers are predicted, of course, in last place again. And about 30 games below 500 I saw on the MLB Network yesterday.
Well, you know, there's always surprises every year.
There are. And they didn't have such a bad year last year compared to what they thought they were going to do.
Had some injuries that didn't help them out and lost a couple of one-run games that they probably shouldn't have. Those are always the killers, but yeah.
Looks like Ryan Braun's going to be back.
Yeah. Brawny's going to start knocking some out of the park.
Would you be a Ryan Braun fan even if he weren't with the Brewers based on his past history of Steroid use?
No.
No. It's an honest politician.
That just, is honest.
I just think, listen, you did it, you made a mistake, you move on.
See, this is the problem that I have with the current state of politics in this country. It's just like team sports. If Ryan Braun had done this with another team, or if even if he was traded or chose to sign with another team, the Brewer fans would cease to be big fans. Barry Bonds, Giants fans loved him.
Yeah.
Hated everywhere else because of what he did. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, same thing. It's in politics, if our side does it, it's acceptable, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. If your side does it, it's the worst thing on the planet. And we have to get away from the hypocrisy. I mean, here, the Republicans are about to invoke the so-called nuclear option to confirm President Trump's new nominee for the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch. And who came up with the nuclear option? It was Harry Reid.
Yeah.
And now the Democrats are up in arms.
Well, I think the whole thing's a mess, and here's why. I don't think you can go out there for a year and a half and tell people that you're going to wait on a Supreme Court nominee, and then when you get your guy in, you go, okay, let's do it. It just doesn't make any sense.
But that was the Joe Biden rule. Mm-hmm. When Biden was the senator,
he brought that up.
He said that we should not nominate a Supreme Court justice during a year, year and a half up before a president is elected, so that the people should have a say in the next Supreme Court nomination. And we know that a huge percentage of people that voted for Trump listed the Supreme Court as a huge reason that you must.
But now you got the Democrats out there saying, "Well, you didn't win with the majority of the country, so we're going to wait for the majority of the country president to win to get a Supreme Court."
Mayor,
but you know what? Here's the problem with Washington: they don't follow any rules. And that's the problem. And that's why I think, the book that they wrote, When Mayors Rule the World, maybe that's what we should go to.
Is that actually a book?
Yeah, actually, yeah. But here's the thing. It's all rhetoric. It's all nonsense. And the reason that mayors get so upset about all this stuff is that we're trying to fix our cities. We're trying to serve our people. We're trying to help people out to get to a better life. There's very little of that going on in the world right now. There's very little of actually people working to create a better life. And you know what? There's two reasons why. Number one, they get caught up in all this nonsense and people love the fight. The other thing is that to actually fix things is difficult. It is not easy to fix poverty. It is not easy to fix the schools. It is not easy to fix jobs and unemployment. So people don't do that because they know it's difficult and they know they have to compromise to get there. And right now, the world rewards you, at least in the United States, for fighting. I mean, this Congress fought with the last president for 8 years. They were not penalized by losing the Senate and the House for that. They were rewarded. So, when conflict
wait a second. That's arguable. First of all, President Obama had 2 years of united government, both in the Senate and in the House.
Yeah, he got a lot passed.
Yeah, it's called Obamacare, which is going away.
It's not going to go away, and that's the misnomer. It's not going to go away because Congress simply cannot, unless they don't have a soul, tell 20 or 30 million people that you're going to be out of health care.
But they're not going to do that. See, that's the Democratic Party line.
No. It's not the Democratic Party line, and here's why. For 8 years, they said, we're going to get rid of Obamacare. They're not getting rid of Obamacare. They're going to replace it. Now, if they would have, for the last 6 years, actually had the guts to go out there and say, you know what, we're going to fix the country. The system is broken. And the president, remember, the president said, this is no different than Medicare, Medicaid. We're going to put it out there, and then we're going to spend the next couple of generations fixing it and adjusting it to work. Listen, I'm living this story because the person that I'm a guardian over was just thrown out of the Affordable Care Act by the insurance company. And so we see
but that's,
this.
But that's still Obamacare, though.
But no. He was thrown out by the insurance company.
Right.
So here's the deal. If you really wanted to serve the country, over the last 6 years, you would have been introducing legislation to adjust the act to work. But that didn't happen. Demagoguery over, we're just going to kill Obamacare. Okay, so now kill it. Well, we've got to replace it. Well, then why didn't you spend the last 6 years doing that? And this is the frustration of the American public. Nobody up there wants to fix anything. They just want to fight. And we as mayors are like, we're dealing with the remnants of all that nonsense. So then we have to fix it, and they keep giving us less and less money to do that.
I appreciate what the mayor has to say, but knowing people like Paul Ryan and knowing that the Republicans did put forth alterations to Obamacare, dozens of them, that never moved from the House to the Senate, thanks to Harry Reid in particular, because they never got to the floor for a vote. I don't disagree with your estimation when it comes to Washington politics and how ineffective it can be, but I think that both parties are ineffective in that. I would agree. I don't believe either has the best interest of the American people at heart. I think it's a power game, and all they do is they pass the power back and forth. But
well, clearly President Trump has the best interest of the American people at heart. He's really not self-focused or self-absorbed in any way, shape, or form. I mean, look at what a wonderful, pious example he said at the National Prayer Breakfast yesterday.
I didn't hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he suggested that we should pray for The Apprentice now that Arnold Schwarzenegger is hosting it because of the low ratings.
Well, what I see in this community,
at least he's consistent.
You got to laugh about it, I hope. But the problem that I'm seeing is that we still have a lot of people here who need care, and if you look at it from a level as a Christian, you got to say, well, we've got to take care of people, and that's part of our duty as Christians. But if you look at it from even an economic perspective, we are spending far more money than we ever should because we have no preventative care in our system. It's all insurance-based, and it's all based on numbers and data versus actually taking care of the country.
He's Mayor John Dickert. I've got a hard break. We've got Pastor Milt Thompson here, the author of the book On Race, the only one in the room. Mark Eichhorst, Glenn Klein, and Tom Carco will be up with this hour's news update in 29 seconds.
This February at Pottawatomie, reveal the riches on our Thursday night game show.
WRJN AccuWeather Forecast. When you hear today's forecast, you'll hear about today's high of 21, tonight's low of 13, tomorrow's high of 32, and then Sunday's high of 36. And Monday is likely to be in the mid-30s. Could actually reach 40 degrees or so on Tuesday. Later on this month, there's quite a bit of conflict as to what's going to happen. Some computer models saying it's going to become quite mild for the season. Others say, no, cold weather pattern will hold. In any case, we'll have a little bit of a warm-up between now and the middle of next week. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
You're saying no. Kenosha right now, 14 degrees. 14 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 13. It is 12 in Racine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
Well, it's supposed to warm up a little bit for the big Bloody Mary toast. I love that when that happens.
Yeah.
That's in the news center.
Yep.
Some background ambiance. So, yeah, it's supposed to be nice for Milliger's to set the Bloody Mary toast record. 2,000 people out there.
Well, see what happens.
You coming out?
Could be.
Awesome. Mayor Dickert's going to be there?
I will be there.
Mr. Racine will be covering it as a roving reporter for WRJN. I'll be there as a designated drinker. And Pastor Mill Thompson, the pastor of the Living Stones Charismatic Fellowship, is canceling his service.
Well, he's going to pray for all of you, right?
No, don't even.
He's canceling.
False news.
Fake news.
Those are alternative facts.
But he is going to pray for you all.
And we need it. Enjoy, sir. Thank you. There he goes, the great Tom Carco. It is 24 minutes until 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Friday Morning. Glenn Klein, along with Mark Eichhorst, Milt Thompson, and Mayor John Dickert. We will continue our community conversation after WRJN covers sports.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohenkron.
In Oakland, 74-71 in Horizon League play. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Glenn Klein on WRJN in Racine, Wisconsin. It is 19 minutes until 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Friday Morning. Mark Eichhorst is in here, so is Milt Thompson and Mayor John Dickert of the aforementioned Racine. So we love when you get fired up, Mayor. It's just so entertaining. And I have to point something out to you, that your colleague, Jonathan Delagrave, the Racine County czar slash, what is he, county executive, right? I want to show you something. Hold on.
Talk, Mark.
Mayor, one of the.
No, I got it. You got to be quicker on the take than that. He blew us off yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I think this is why. Now I saw this. You know, he lost to the mayor in the second annual Racine County Executives Rock Paper Scissors contest.
Yes, he did.
It was very serious.
I know.
And then I saw this on Facebook. You got to see this. This is unbelievable. And if I can enlarge it, can I? I don't know. Hold on. Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
This is an international rock, paper, scissors contest in, I think it's Korea. Okay. Watch this. All right, now we got to describe this because I think that's the way we should do it from here on out.
All that screaming and all that.
Yeah, what they have is they have the two contestants with their fists up butted up against each other, and the guy in the middle is the referee. He's got a referee shirt on, and he counts down. And when he gives the signal, then they go boom. Then they give the rock, paper, scissors.
So do you think he's actually watching the other person's hand to see where they're going?
He looks like he's got his eyes closed. Right. Let's watch it again.
All right. So this is, you know, this is important stuff.
Yeah. They're counting down. And rock beats scissors. I'm pretty sure that's why Jonathan Delagrave didn't show up yesterday. I think he's still hurting from having lost to you.
Well, it was a deep struggle, but I did a lot of film watching and I did a lot of study and been checking out his website, and, seeing where he's going.
You are a very competitive man, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Unfortunately, we played in this ambassadors tournament where they're like the Harlem Globetrotters. They come in and they talk about. The basketball players talk about anti-bullying, and we played in that game, and they were hammering us pretty bad to the point where they actually hammered me in the face and blew my nose up, and I bled all over the place. But
when was this?
This is about 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. I was going underneath to get a rebound, and this gentleman who was about 6'3", who I was guarding, jumped way over the net to get a rebound. But when he came down for the dunk, he unfortunately. He brought his left hand down and right into my nose. So when we were playing, though, one of the people, a good friend of mine, came up to me and said, I know this was a lot of fun and you guys were going at it, but you're pretty competitive out there. And I said, uh-oh, did it show? And she said, oh, yeah.
Well, John McCain, the senator from Arizona in the 2008 presidential nominee for the Republicans, famously said, politics ain't beanbag.
No.
So being competitive, does that help you as a mayor and as a politician?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think being passionate is far more important in your job because you don't give up on things that are important to you and you don't stop. But the I don't know if competitive is good or bad. Sometimes I think it limits you.
I think it's good. But I think even if you're trying to improve yourself, we were talking Milt earlier about some people that are open to change. There's something in us that doesn't want to change.
Right.
So we
right.
have a competition. It's just a question of how you deal with competition.
Right.
We're talking with the competitive mayor of the great city of Racine, John Dickard, on Community Conversations, brought to you in part by St. Monica Senior Living. So obviously there's a competition between the right and the left, the Democrats and the Republicans. And now we have the Republicans in control of the federal government. They have 35 states. And the president has announced this partial, temporary ban on certain countries being able to bring people into this country, 7 predominantly Muslim countries. Plus, they're still talking about at least rounding up illegal immigrants, a.k.a. undocumented workers, if they have committed a crime. Now, on January 30th, you released a press release that said that you want to make it perfectly clear that the city of Racine will not actively pursue undocumented immigrants. You said the focus of the police department will be to find and arrest those who break the law. It is not against state or city law to be undocumented. So we cover that. Tom Carco covered that quote from you. And then that same day, I had Attorney John Cabranes from the Cabranes Law Offices in to talk about the ban, and he's an immigration attorney. And as Tom played you the clip of you, Attorney Cabranes said that that wasn't right. And here's how this sounded earlier this week on Community Conversations.
You cannot take out undocumented workers for no reason, and you cannot risk our funding, federal funding, because of our actions under the law. So we are challenging those comments and the executive order to state that cities have rights under the 10th and 14th Amendments, and we're going to abide by those rights.
All right, so Attorney John Cabranes, who's an immigration attorney here in Racine, is Mayor Dickert, the mayor of Racine, accurate in his comments?
No, he's not. The 10th and 14th, the 10th Amendment is the Commerce Clause, which basically says that all rights not specifically given to the federal government are given to the states. The 14th Amendment applies the amendments to the Constitution, applies the Bill of Rights essentially to the states. What essentially the mayor is saying is that the federal government doesn't have a say so in what cities and states do, and that's not true. And the reason it's not true is because there is a supremacy clause in the Constitution, which essentially says federal rules, federal regulations, federal laws, as long as they comply with the Constitution, as long as there's an interest, federal interest there. The federal laws trump state laws, and no pun intended there. So when Mayor Dickert says that cities and states have rights, that communities have rights, they do, but they're very limited rights. And when they come into conflict with established federal law is going to win every single time.
All right, so that is Attorney John Cabranes earlier this week on Community Conversations on WRJN, commenting on Mayor John Dickert's assertion that you guys pretty much can do what you want with undocumented immigrants. What say you, sir?
Well, first of all, two things. First of all, Mr. Cabranes is talking about federal law. There is no federal law that would require us nor allow the federal government to come in and take undocumented workers. So that's the first piece. The second piece is I'd be happy to show him the report that we got and the opinions that we got from the largest immigration law firm in the country. And it, while I talked about the 10th and 14th, what I didn't talk about was the two Supreme Court cases and the three federal court cases that were justifying the opinion on. So if Mr. Cabranes wants, he can come down to my office and take a look at the confidential information that we have that we had done as mayors from around the country. And so what we did was this. When we saw this coming, we hired a law firm, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, which represents over 300 or 400 mayors around the country, and we asked for opinions on the three issues. The one issue is going after undocumented workers or requiring our police to do it. The President Trump has said that he would bring federal marshals into Chicago. Actions like that we don't think are appropriate. Number two, utilizing with a holding over of our state and city funding from the federal level to do this. And then number three, I forget what the third one is. But so what we did was we went after those comments and those issues, and the opinions that we got from the law firm deal with each one of those in depth. And what it says is that the rhetoric that is being touted about right now by the federal government, they don't have the authority to do. Now, Mr. Cabranes is saying that federal law trumps state and city law, and he's accurate about that. We get that, but there is no federal law in this area. So to just simply use the rhetoric to say we're coming into your cities and doing this, that's the opinion that we went after.
But don't Well, first of all, Attorney Cabranes is going to be in this afternoon on the Cabranes Law Hour. Would you like to join us in the 1 o'clock hour?
I can't because I've got meetings today, but in my argument is not going to sit here and argue with an attorney.
Well, no, it's illuminating.
But the thing is, he should look at our opinion.
We have laws already on the books mm-hmm. that say the people that are here without documentation shouldn't be here. And so if the federal government decides through ICE, for example, which, I mean, President Obama deported some people, mm-hmm. obviously not mm-hmm. as many as mm-hmm. President Trump would like to, apparently. Mm-hmm. But if the federal government decides to follow the laws that are already on the books, what can you do as the mayor of the city of Racine?
Well, let's make a couple things real clear. Number one, if you're breaking the law, we're going to arrest you.
But isn't it illegal to be here?
I don't know that illegally. I don't know that it is illegally. What we've asked Congress to do is to start changing the law so that people can become citizens of the United States and start paying taxes, which is, I think, what everyone wants for the most part, because the reality is this. The people that you're talking about, remember, there are more people leaving this country right now than there are coming in from Mexico. And from what I've heard from the community in Racine is, not only are we losing people, we're losing investments into our community
Those are two different issues. That's a solution.
Right.
But right now, we have federal laws that if they were followed, would not allow people that are here undocumented to be here. If the federal government decides that they are going to prosecute those mm-hmm. who are here illegally, what will the city of Racine or the mayor of the city of Racine do?
Well, first of all, we're required by law to follow federal law. We are. I mean, the federal law trumps state and city law. What we're asking the president to do is to stop going after people who candidly are working in this country.
But
right now.
Would you cooperate with the federal government if they decide to round up undocumented workers?
If it's federal law, we have no choice. But here's the thing. This goes back to the rhetoric that we talked about before. I want the federal government working hand in hand with me, as they have been, to round up gangbangers who are breaking the law, drug dealers who are breaking the law, people in the business community who are breaking the law, the people that are actually breaking the law. If you're simply going to go after undocumented people just because they're undocumented, then I think that's a mistake because I think it's a waste of time and I think it's a waste of money.
But you won't resist it if they do make that mistake.
If it's a federal law, I have no choice.
He is Mayor John Dicker. This is Glenn Klein along with Mark Eichhorst and Bill Thompson. It's a community conversation on WRJN brought to you by St. Monica's Senior Living. When someone you care about needs a little help, maybe it's time to look into assisted living at St. Monica's. You can schedule your visit to St. Monica's by calling 262-639-5050 or go online to stmonicasseniorliving.com to learn more. 262-639-5050 is the number. St. Monica's Senior Living on North Green Bay Road in Racine, where you are the heart of their home.
Mayor, I've known you for many, many years, and I've seen you go and come back from Washington, D.C. many a times. Most of the time you come back excited maybe over a new partnership or excited over something that you think will impact Racine in a positive way. And I know you have a passion for Racine and especially its residents. 2 weeks ago, you were in Washington, D.C., and you came back and recently spoke at a Rely Local Small Business Association meeting. And I could tell the frustration in your voice. You said that people had asked, are you staying for the inauguration? You said, no, just get me out of this place. I don't want to be here. You said there's a different type of attitude. You were hoping to get things accomplished where what basically was kind of being pushed down your throat was national regulation on marijuana. Can you tell us a little bit about that frustration?
Well, what I said about Washington, I wasn't invited to the inauguration, and I don't go any place I'm not invited to. So what I said was the chaos was getting out of control in Washington. We had a four-day conference of mayors, seminars, work, and meetings. And so you had two different groups coming in. You had protesters coming in and then Trump supporters coming in for the inauguration. And I wanted to get out because it was crazy. You couldn't walk anywhere. We were located right up by the White House, so everything was cordoned off. You couldn't even walk across the street. You had to walk down to corners because everything was gated. So I just wanted to get out of the mess before it got messier, and it was pretty messy out there. To even get to a meeting, it was kind of crazy. So I just wanted to get out of there. I like getting home. My frustration is that what you've been hearing from me and what you continue to hear from me, which is there's so much rhetoric and so little work actually getting done. There is so much divisiveness and so little cohesion. There is so much diversity being used as a weapon instead of being used as a strength like we have here in Racine. And it's all about what are we going to do to fix things. So the mayors in general are very frustrated because we want to fix things. And, we've had frustrations with every president. We've had frustrations with the Obama administration, with the Bush administration, because we want to see things move at a faster pace. And we want to see the rhetoric go away so we can start finding the best solutions for problems. And every time I go out to Washington, we're not seeing that. So that's where our frustration level builds. The crazy part about it is I wish I could bring Washington into our meetings. Because what you have happening is you have Democrats and Republicans figuring out solutions to homelessness, housing problems, crime problems, job opportunities, innovations, environmental situations. We're all working together to get this done. And I just wish that someone would not only recognize that, but start working with us.
Was Mayor Rahm Emanuel there from Chicago?
He had stopped for a day. He was there for a day.
So obviously they've got a major problem on the south and west sides of mm-hmm. Chicago. And there's a racial component, obviously, mm-hmm. to that. Mm-hmm. And President Trump has said if they don't get it right, he's going to send in the feds.
Well, one of the things that I think Mayor Emanuel just did the other day was send a notice to the president and saying, you want to help? Here are the 10 things that we could work together on to get this done.
As a civil rights leader, Milt, would you support the federal government coming into a community made up primarily of African Americans to try to stop that violence?
Boy, as the last straw, but when you look at the number of people that are being killed in Chicago and the fact that, there are questions about the policing policies and other things in the city of Chicago, if the government of Chicago can't figure out a way to protect the lives of those citizens and the collateral damage, then yeah, I would, as a last resort. But this has gone on for years.
What would your opinion of a much, obviously a much smaller city than Chicago, if the federal government came in to a city like Chicago to try to stop to what President Trump calls the carnage?
Here's the deal. The last time a state and federal government came in to fix a city was Flint. End of discussion.
You're saying that didn't go very well?
Well, considering the fact that tens of thousands of children will be damaged for the rest of their lives and generations of children will be damaged because of the sheer volume of lead based on decisions by politicians instead of by city government officials. No, I don't think that that's the answer. And this is the remnants of all of this nonsense. This is what happens when you get people saying, well, you can't fix it, so I'm going to come in with a silver bullet. I'm going to bring the federal government.
Well, what about when the feds went in to the South during the civil rights marches and the civil rights movement?
Two different things. I mean, you had a national issue there. And what's going on in Chicago, yes, is it a problem? Yes, it is. But did anybody ever look at the fact that the Chicagoland region and that the tri-state area was the lowest growth rated area of the United States at a minus 17% over the last 10 years? So are we looking at why Chicago is the way it is? And is anybody trying to help to fix that? So, I mean, when we look at these problems, we look for long-term solutions based on the actual problem, not silver bullets based on what's in the press. So if you want to go into Chicago, then you go into Chicago to start helping with rebuilding the industrial base, helping with poverty, and helping generations of poverty get out of poverty so that you can start fixing the problem. You're going to say you're going to come in there with the police? You can put a cop on every corner, and it's not going to solve the problem. Everyone knows that. This is not rocket science. So for people to go in and say, I'm going to bring the federal government, we're going to solve your problem, they'll shoot the federal government officials. Doesn't matter. You think those kids care? This is a ridiculous argument.
So what you're saying is that the problem on the south and west sides of Chicago is strictly a poverty problem.
I'm saying it's a bigger problem than bringing in federal troops. I mean, come on. How did that work at Kent State for us? I mean, this is a ridiculous conversation. If they're really concerned about fixing the problem, then sit down with us and do what I said in the beginning of this hour. Have the hard conversations with us. Have the serious conversations about fixing these problems. Because this stuff, this is crap. And candidly, what Mark felt and my frustration is, we as mayors, we're tired of this conversation. We are tired of it because all we hear from Washington is blah, blah, blah. But nobody's coming down and actually fixing the problem with us. We have tried to do this with the governor. We have tried to do this with the federal level. We have solutions to fix these problems. No one's listening, but they come in and tell us how to do our job. Well, guess what? We're better at this than you guys are. We're far better at it. Racine just hit 5.4% in unemployment. When I started, it was 17.1%. When I started in 2009, we had the highest crime rate per capita in the state of Wisconsin. We're at a 52-year low and we're rated 20th best city in America. Number four for women-owned business. Number 20 in entrepreneurism. Number one most affordable city in the world to live in. One of the best beaches in the world. These things don't come about because we got federal and state help. It came about because we collectively brought this community together to fix the problems. That's the wake-up call for this country. You need to start talking to mayors.
Well, we started with a wake-up call with Mayor Dickert requesting Superstition by Stevie Wonder, and we finished with a major wake-up call from the mayor of Racine. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for Stevie Wonder. I love Stevie Wonder.
We'll see you at Milliger's on Sunday.
Yes, you will.
Based on your current state, you might want to start drinking a little earlier than Sunday.
No. But just like you said, we've got a lot of passion for our cities, and we know what's going on. And, you know, if there's one thing that we get to hear as mayors is you get to hear the pleas of people to your face.
And if you get into a basketball game in the near future, just
stay away from the inside.
Watch your nose.
I'll tell you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
National Football League Hall of Fame head coach Marv Levy makes his Super Bowl prediction after WRJN covers the world.
Penalties for Iran. A solid jobs report. I'm Evan Haining. The U.S. is hitting Iran with new sanctions over last weekend's missile test.